All right. If that wasn't the first cultural moment, we had to learn when we moved to Vanuatu that when you call somebody up to the front, they don't come immediately because there's this like weird humility thing that they have to first go through this process. And so maybe we just did what we just did it, and it's a little awkward. There's your first cultural experience. Really, it's really funny. You'll say, hey, would you come to the front? And then you sit down, and it might take 25, 30 seconds, maybe a minute, to make their way up to the front, because they sort of have to, yeah. So
we need Darlene to come and tell them what to do.
Yeah. All right. So we live in this amazing age where we can... The technology age is really, I mean, as we know, all of us, it's blowing our minds of what's capable of doing overseas, what we're able to do with technology. One of the Peace Corps volunteers that came into our community recently has a drone, and she can fly it around. And, you know, I could take that video and literally walk you through our village. It's pretty cool, and I've got a couple videos like that. We can record testimonies of people and present them. We can, you know, do. It's just amazing what we can do. This presentation is not going to be any of that. this is going to be as low tech as we can make it. It's going to be like flashback 1979 when the Michos used to come back and throw slides up on the screen. It's not for lack of. Of content, it's not for lack of effort. We've switched things up. As I was talking to Dave and Becky, and they said, "Look, this is how we could do things. We can switch it up. We've done a bit more of a formal report on where we're at and where we're going downstairs. We'll just touch on that a little bit today. And then questions and answers later on when we eat together. But what we thought we'd do is just hit some highlights, some of the things that." We present some of the things that have been happening, particularly in the last 3 years, from different perspectives. So Amber's going to give her perspective, and then I'll tell you what really happened. And then I'll give you my story, and she'll tell you what really happened. We'll bring our girls up, and they'll straighten us all out. So we're just going to kind of hit some themes and just highlight some of the big things that we want to talk about. And that even means we're foregoing maps and pointers on the map and all that stuff. We work in Vanuatu. I'm Brad. This is Amber. Zoe's the super tall one. Piper's the less tall one. And then Lola. So if you haven't met us in that downstairs, we'll talk more. We just began to touch on it as we finished up the Sunday school downstairs was this idea of community and this idea of the church. And without our experience here at Grove and what we learned and what we gleaned from here and then having you guys send us out, we wouldn't be even giving any report of the most incredible jobs in the world. I feel enormously privileged to do the work we do. It's one of the most incredible jobs in the world. When I am absolutely hating life, when I'm rebuilding the frame on my outboard engine from YouTube videos... And, you know, I have no clue what I'm doing. Amber often says, you have a job guys in America dream of. Quit complaining, you know. And I'll throw that back at her from time to time, but more selectively. And, you know, we really do feel when we're home and we're healthy, we can completely see the privilege that we have in serving. And you guys enable that. It would be remiss if we didn't begin and end every conversation about what we do without saying thank you to this community, both for suffering through our years of trying to sort out what we believe and then giving us the opportunity to go share that with others. That's a journey. That's not an event. That's something that we do because we trust one another. It's built on trust. It's not built on an agreement or a contract. It's a covenant that we enter into to share Messiah with others. And we do it badly sometimes, and we screw it up sometimes. But in the end of the day, We are the community, we are the body of Christ, and you have enabled us and a growing body which sends out others, as Dave was saying, to be able to take a part in, you know, people, the number just doesn't reflect what God is doing in his community. So we love you guys. We want to say thanks for that. But we also want to just take a moment to reflect on how we fit in this humongous picture that is the kingdom of God. And to tell you that we enjoy being a part of this and having come from this to do what we do. Any other perspective on that one?
No.
Good. Thank you. So we're going to throw some slides up behind for the ADD among us. And I think we'll do it. Yeah, you get that fired up. And so as we talk, you can look at something better than us talking, and you can. It might spur on some questions that you'll have for later on, and then Amber will give you a kind of a brief idea of what the pictures might look like from behind, and then we'll go from there. So, hold on. This is the high tech part I was talking about.
I think we're still in your Sunday school.
Yeah. By the way, none of this has been tested. I threw it all at the guys in the back when we got here, and they said, yep, in theory it should work, but...
So the first group of pictures is going to be our home life, family life. So we saved, like, the more shocking things for the end when you're a little bit tired. There's some medical things that'll pop up, wake you right up. So I'm going to get you while you're fresh. You're going to see pictures of school. You'll see the girls in uniforms. That's their choice, not necessarily mine, and it's not necessarily what they do in the village, but it is their uniforms. They're homeschooled, and both of us share in that. Brad does the sciences, and I do the rest, and it's one of those things where God is completely proven himself and enabling us to do something that we really didn't... think we'd ever do, but we're actually quite passionate about educating, not just our kids, but educating anybody that we work with. So you'll see pictures of that. You're going to see pictures of, hopefully you're going to see pictures. You're going to see stuff that goes on in our house. You'll find out that Brad is like our dentist. He is also our hairdresser. So you might see some funny pictures with him in scissors and me in foils. So basically everything that you guys would enjoy as far as conveniences go, somehow we've managed to either learn how to do it ourselves, gather it from somebody else, or just go without it. So inside of our home, we try to operate in a way that is very American. We want our kids to learn the culture that they came from. But we also want them to learn to appreciate and adjust into the culture that we live in as well. So inside our house, we speak English. We don't speak any other language inside of our house unless we have friends come in, and whatever language they speak is what we speak. So sometimes there's a couple of them that want to practice English, and so that's always really fun for us because then they sound as stupid as we feel when we're speaking their language. And it's good fun. But... other things about our house life. We eat very much like what you would expect. It's just more on like the, you know, those whole food diet things. That's kind of like what we do. So just because we don't have a choice. So if you want a sauce, you have to make it yourself. If you want to have pizza, you got to make it yourself. There aren't takeaway places and all that jazz. So, as far as our home life, it is very typical of what you would do in your homes and how you raised your children. It's outside of our house that's quite a contrast. So we don't have windows. So everything that goes on outside is heard inside.
Well, we have windows. We don't have glass.
Yeah, we have screens.
We have screens.
Yes, we have lots and lots of screens. So it's very hot, so the wind gets in that way, but so do all the smells from outside, all the noises from outside. So it's smoky, about 80% of the time in our house because we live in very close contact with our neighbors. They're all about this far away from me to Brad. So when anybody's cooking, which we have eight people that live directly around our house, then our house is going to fill up with smoke depending on which way the wind's blowing. And some days I feel like the wind is always blowing that stinking smoke inside our house. But oftentimes our room, we have one bedroom where Brad and I sleep, and that one, because it's the only room with a door, that one really collects all the smoke in there. So upstairs is a loft. The footprint of our house is pretty small because we're all shoved into one area in our village. So our village is the biggest village on the island, and it just has a lot of people smashed into a very small place. So it's quite urban.
In perspective, if you know the size of Lake Ovid over here at the park, our entire island would fit inside of that lake. And there's 700 people live together on one third of that island. So we're literally packed in, running out of space. So we built a loft for two reasons. One, we wanted our girls to have a sort of sanctuary space that separated them from people coming and peeking in their windows, which happens regularly before when we were living in the hut. But it also, we're just out of space. So if you want a certain amount of area so you're not bumping into each other, you actually kind of have to go up. And that's actually beginning, our guys are beginning to do that as well because they simply don't have any more room for each other.
Yeah, so I lost my train of thought.
I was going to bounce off that and say, so we do have this weird transition where we've got our home, which is our sanctuary, and our work, which is outside the door. And it often comes near to begin to figure, it's a really tough balance as a missionary to begin to figure out what comes in and what doesn't, and how do you survive in an environment that is challenging and demanding on you at all hours if you simply say yes to every single event that comes past your door. We built my office between our front door and the community road so that everybody has to pass through my office first before they go into the home. So when we're homeschooling and that sort of thing, if the constant distractions would actually not permit them to get anything done, let alone. So it's the kind of thing like I'll see my neighbor Philip walk by, and I'll be sitting at my desk here, and it'll be Ropong Philip, Ropong. Walk by, and then he'll think, I've just seen Brad. What can I ask him for? And he'll turn around and he'll go, hey. Do you have, that crescent wrench? And I'll say, let me go look for it, And I'll go, I'll come back. This actually happened with a guy named Walden. Walden, sure, I'll go check for my wrench. I go look for my wrench. I can't find my wrench. I'm apologizing. I'm going through the whole cultural sorry, all this stuff. And then I look up on my whiteboard, and I realize, Walden, crescent wrench. I go, Walden, you have my crescent wrench already. And he goes, oh, sorry, I'll go find it. He goes up, yeah. So it's that kind of thing, like they're in the middle of a project, they just need something, I'll ask him first. So if we permitted that in our home as well, it would be constant. And when we talk about health and stuff, there are times when you have to bend that. You have to change that. When a kid comes with a fish hook in their face, you go, let's stop school for a moment and help this little guy out. But we'll share some more on that a bit later. So life and family, one of the things we try to do is we try to create a space for our girls in which they are a full integrated part of what we do, but we don't hold them to the same standard of being missionaries in the sense that we feel that we are all the church, regardless at any age we get involved. But we also allow God to use them at their maturity level and where they're at. So when they're outside, they're a huge part of the ministry. When they're inside, we're focusing on their development and their growth as well. I think the girls do a fantastic job of developing, of keeping that in balance. And that sort of leads us into this idea of community and friendship, because the family life is one element, the community and our friendship is another, and then the two overlap, and our community is coming into our home, and our home is going out into the community. And that constant daily juggle, that constant daily interaction, is something that we're privileged to do. Now, again, this is my perspective. Amber may feel like, no more. But to me, it's a privilege because we are in a place where we cannot help but interact with our people. I've worked in places in Europe where they're literally walking out the door hoping to, like, come across an accident or something so that they can have a conversation with somebody. You know, they're just desperate to start conversations, and they can't start a conversation. All I have to do is literally go down and flop down in a chair at the end of the beach, and we're going to have, you know, Amber just goes on a walk, and she wants to go for a walk for 1 hour, and she comes back 2.5 hours later, and she's like, community. You know, it happens to us. And that is, that's actually an honor in relation to missions, but it also burns us out, particularly for me, who's an introvert who likes to get my work done and then have a good time. These guys will, you know, push that hard, and we're constantly balancing. So, yeah.
I know it's a little bit that I'm a little bit broken when someone knocks at the door at the missionary house, and I'm like, no, it's that's like for real, actually, but. Yeah, it's a really hard thing, but like he said, it's because it just happens to us. We don't have a choice but to just react. And so that's a huge blessing. It forces us on those days when we're sick or hot or tired or just irritated to remember why we're there, that we're there to serve the people around us, and they have needs. And so that's our job. So it just helps keep things in perspective to be constantly confronted with people, with our neighbors, with the community around us. So these pictures are fun pictures of the girls, us too, with different friends, different events that we get to be a part of, the normal everyday stuff of fishing, of playing. Most of the pictures that you're seeing are all, if you see a beach, then they're 50 steps from our house. If you don't see a beach, they're about 5 steps from our house. So where we live is kind of like the town square, the front of our house, and behind our house is the well. So as you can imagine, on an island where there is no running water, and that well is a central place. When we hear or teach Bible stories that involve a well, it means a whole nother thing when you're living in that kind of environment. So several times a day, usually 3 times a day, it gets super loud right behind our house. And then in the front of our house, depending on where the sun is and where the shade is, the front of our house will be kind of a central area for fun. We've worked really hard to bless the community by cleaning up our village. It's just a practical way that we can show them love and also hopefully make people a little bit healthier. There's a lot of regular cleanliness, hygiene rules that you guys operate under that we've all grown up with that they just don't know. It's not about that they're ignorant or that they're unable to learn. They literally just don't know. So when kids need to use the bathroom, they don't go find one. They just generally come around my house and go. So it's a quiet, usually they can hide when it's sunny because there aren't a lot of people there when it's sunny. Like I said, until the sun hits certain trees, it's quite bright outside and no one will be out there then. And they know I'm not going to chase them away and throw a stone at them, even though sometimes I want to. So those kind of things are very normal. The trash, we have a massive doors, trash all around our house, all around our village. So part of the girls' daily chores are to go clean up trash outside and to pick
this
up.
This is a new problem because they garden so much. Up until about 10 years ago, when we arrived, we saw almost no trash. People cared for their areas a lot better. Now they've begun to purchase more and more food. And I even spoke to one volunteer who came across a scenario where it was actually a status symbol to be able to throw your trash outside and show how much purchased food you were eating because it showed that you were wealthier than your neighbors, and so it's a real complicated situation. what we look at and we say, how can you not care for this prestige? You know, this is gorgeous. This is paradise. And they're going, yeah, well, you know. So the girls have been putting a lot of effort into continuing to communicate that you know, our space that God created for us is important and we've got to care for that.
So when we talk about neighbors, we're talking about family. Our village is split into two tribes. So Brad is officially part of one of the families. And the two tribes in our village are oftentimes like this with one another. So one of the cool parts about cleaning up the community was it was a bit of a bridge for the two families to find a space that was beautiful, that they could sit and look at the beauty around us.
One of the reasons we ended up on the ground we ended up on is because we're dead smack in between the two families. So nobody wanted to live there. So we're right in the, you know, family feud kind of thing going on. Yeah. So it helps.
Yeah. So in the end, there's always that constant task of trying to not just build community like us and community, but actually unite the community. So it would be like your families. Think about your greater family all living in a very small space together. Come on, we all know that Christmas can be awkward sometimes. Whatever it is, there's just somebody's got a problem that someone else doesn't really want to deal with. So those kind of things are constant, and there's a lot of drama that happens, and it's very typical. It's just that we tend to spread out, have glass in our windows, a bit more privacy, so we kind of isolate from one another when these things happen, but they are just all in each other's biz, so, yeah.
So it was from that Amber, as we began to ask God to show us how to begin to communicate Christ, when we began to speak out, we weren't sure who to do it with because the people directly around us had actually spoken out, and so Amber shunned it. They had already rejected the opportunity for us to speak out, and so Amber started taking walks to the end of the island and back along the beachfront where it was safe for her to walk. It's not safe for her to walk through the bush trails by herself as a woman, but along the front it was all right, and as she was going, she was meeting people and talking to them, and finally there was a group down at the end who we were telling what we wanted to do, and this one guy who was an outsider to Utapiv said, you need to talk to this guy, Sebas. This guy is the guy you want to talk to. And we got him in, and he and I started working, and we spent more time me talking to him about Christ than we did doing any type of translation work or what we were aiming to do. And the girls are heading up. And so as Sebas and I, we began to break down. We went through the entire Old Testament and then into Romans, and when we hit the middle of Romans, he just threw his hands up, and he was like, okay, this blows my mind. I can't tell you the whole story. It's written in some of our updates, but he just said, I believe this. And from that point, this whole entire path started from that moment with Sebas. And he said, look, if this is true, everybody in my family needs to hear about it. So he went and had a meeting together with his family group and said, this is what they want to teach us. And the rest of the family said, if nobody else wants to listen to it, we'll listen to it. So they all came together, and our first work started outside of our own village because our village said, we're not ready. And so when we went down to this other community and started working there, they started bringing people in from different family groups, and now we have somebody from every single village group. We have 7 villages on our island. We have somebody from every single village group except Sorpon. No, we do? Not from Sorpon. 6 of them coming to our class, as we call it. I would talk the entire time about our class. We absolutely love it. We're teaching chronologically creation to Christ. Every single week, we get together for a couple of hours on a Sunday night, and we just tear the Bible apart, and our guys are so hungry. When we got to the place where we're teaching Paul right now, we're still calling him Saul, and we stopped mid-Acts at this natural place for us to step away for a couple of months, and they went, no. And I, you know, because last week I said, look, you guys need a break from us. We're pushing you hard. We need a break from you. We got to go home and get rid of some of the fungus that's on us. And they were like, no, you just told us about Saul. And one of the ladies was like, he is our favorite character in the Bible.
Saul, he's my favorite Bible character. Like, yeah. Never heard that before.
She's like, I have to know more about him. So they've completely fallen in love with this guy. And it's amazing because they're seeing themselves in the first church. which is a lot of fun.
So the pictures you're seeing are all people that are part of class that have decided to follow Jesus. So this is the group. Yeah, that's flashing behind while you're talking.
Yeah. So we've got a New Testament that's been translated. One of the old guy that you just saw there did a lot of the work in it, and it was his family that opened up the door for us to come and speak. And then the rest of it, like all the supporting stuff in Genesis and other passages, we've had to translate into Urdupiv language in order to make that available for the guys. So as we do the studies, one of the things we're doing as we teach is we're also writing all the materials down and publishing it in two languages, in Bishlama and Urdupiv, so that everybody in our group can read it in at least one language that they understand, so that they can go back and study. And our guys do. We have a high literacy rate, and they tear those books apart, studying them and restudying them and restudying them. One of our guys named Kalpea went down to the capital city for what they call a workshop with SIL, with Wycliffe, and he was pulled aside, another of the instructor, and just drilling him with questions. And finally, the instructor pulled aside another guy from our group, Kalite, and said, "Where did this guy go to Bible college? Because he's like got everything covered." And Kalite goes, "He just goes to our Urdupiv class. He just goes to class." So it was our guys are gleaning so much, and they're just studying and studying and studying. So I literally could talk about class. I've talked about it more downstairs already. But one of the things, when we came to the place of the church worships together, we began to translate songs. And that's a huge thing that our guys talk about. Music just speaks to them. And so one of the songs as we were teaching Jesus' life was Jesus Messiah, talking about him being Emmanuel. And we taught that to them as we were going through. Sebastian and I will sit down for a couple hours and just play music together and just work on the meaning of the words. And then once we've got it, we bring the girls in. We teach it to them during a lunch. Then we bring everybody in together during class. One of the strategies is we don't give them things before they're ready for it. So we taught them Jesus Messiah, but only Christ has come. The second verse talks about his body, the blood. Now I'm going backwards from one language to another. His blood, the vine, body, the bread, that kind of thing. So it wasn't until we actually talked about the crucifixion that we taught them the second verse. And when they sang the second verse, it was like, yes, this is my Messiah. And there was one guy, Jabed, who actually said, sitting there, he's a guy that we would blush to have in our group, honestly. And he's just sitting there going, "This is my Messiah. This is my Messiah." I was just like, so music is a huge part. And when we can sing with them, this song is called Kuplai Jesu Tevik. It's Give Me Jesus. And it's a simple song that we would sing 100 times and not even think about it. And Kalpea told us just before we left, this is my favorite song in the world, because it says, you can take everything else, everything that I've got, just give me Jesus in the end. And it's a cool way that the language translates it. Kuplai Jesu Tevik. If you say Kuplai Jesu Tevi Inu, you say, give Jesus to me, but you can take Jesus away. But if you say Kuplai Jesu Tevik, it becomes an inalienable, inseparable part of you. And it says, give me Jesus in a way like my father, like my mother, like my... Translate with them cannot be taken away from me in any way, shape, or form. When you translate with them and you begin to work those things in, it's so cool for them to grab that. Their favorite line in the song is, Some nanu chichle nga nyel nga tan. You can take everything that belongs to this place down here, but give me Jesus. So we thought we'd sing it. This is a one time, never going to happen again. This is a Grove only.
The first time we've ever sang.
Yeah. And we'll give it a crack, so we'll see how it goes.
Our guys sang this for Christmas in the village when we were gone. We came back and they said, we did our new song for the entire island for Christmas. And so I told them, all right, we'll go home to our village and we'll sing it to them. And we'll come back and tell you, since you guys were so brave, we'll be brave too. So here we go. Thank you.
So yeah, once we've got the girls in, then the band's complete, and we can go from there. Do you want to ask them? Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so we've got a little best and worst. We're going to play a little game because everybody wants to know the kids' perspectives, right? So I told them to think about their favorite things, so let's talk about best first or worst first? Best first, okay. So what's your favorite thing about living on Urbif?
I love playing school with all the kids. I like catching fish and looking for rocks at the beach.
I like swimming in the ocean and watching sunrises on the beach.
Everything ends in on the beach. Okay, do you have any more bests?
I like playing with all the people and talking to the old Abus. I like living by the water.
The beach?
The beach.
I like talking with people and just being together in, like for celebrations and stuff.
What do you like holding?
What?
What do you like holding?
Babies.
Zoe's like the village baby holder. Okay, all right, so shifting gears, we'll go from one extreme to the other. What's some of the things that you find the hardest?
It's hard to sleep at night when all the people are drunk at night and they're loud, and it's hard walking around when they're also like that because it's kind of scary.
All right, we're keeping it real. Any worse things?
I can't remember anything.
All right, pass off to Zoe.
It's hard to say goodbye to people when we leave once we've been there for a little bit and we feel like we're kind of a part of their community, and it's just hard to move around a lot.
Yeah. That's okay. Pipes, you got any more worse stuff? I mean, you started big. Do you want to elaborate? Good? Did you remember anything, Lo? Okay, so I have a couple. Oh, go ahead.
I don't like all the big cyclones and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a lot of natural disasters going on in Vanuatu, so from erupting volcanoes to earthquakes and cyclones, we've tasted it all. So those are hard things to...
Tornadoes.
Yeah, no tornadoes.
There's water spouts.
Yeah, there's water spouts, but no tornadoes. Okay, so there's a couple questions here that the Sunday school kids asked downstairs, but we didn't get a chance to answer them, so we'll just do a couple. How long have you known God? Interesting.
We, all three of us, have pretty much always known about God our whole lives because our parents have taught us about God since we were really little. And we do, on Mondays, my mom does a Bible class with us. And we basically do what my dad does with the class on an island. And my mom has taken us chronologically through the Bible and taught us that way so that we have come to know about God and what, like, the history of that. But I was, I think, 8 when I decided to put my faith in Jesus and believe that, believe, like, who he says he is and that kind of thing.
I was 5 when I decided to put my faith in him and trust him and believe in him. I was 7 when I started believing God, and, yeah.
Thanks for that. All right, I'm not even sure if the kids are up here to hear the answers that they asked, but ironically, the next one, is there a beach? Did you guys want to answer that? Okay, you guys are good. Thank you.
So,
go ahead and go down, guys.
We've got a few other things we we've got on. You know about the water project if you've been following along. I'll talk about that a little bit downstairs after we eat, because it's a project that God just allowed us to do, and there's a lot more I can tell about it. So we'll do it in the informal bit downstairs. Amber just wants to share a little bit about health and weather, and then we'll talk about our phase out, just something we briefly, just very briefly, before we finish, because we're pretty much out of time. But
so here's all the shocking pictures for when the missionaries go over, and you're like, oh my word, when are they going to stop? I saved the best for last. Lots of gross, sick pictures. So not only are things happening to us, obviously, just like they do to you, and then we got to figure out how we're going to deal with it. The same thing happens outside in our village as well. So we're the clinic in Teuti, which is our village, and there's a lot of things that go wrong that are very typical, the same things you guys experience, but somehow there's a tropical factor that just takes everything to a new level. So whether you have the flu, you just feel like, because it's so stinking hot. Or you get a little bite from a mosquito, you scratch it one time, now you've got staph. And that becomes a giant boil, and then you got to figure out how to clean that out. And whether you need to take antibiotics for it or not, I really try to just do things that they can actually continue to do on their own. So a lot of what I do is more educating and listening and just loving them. There's not a whole lot of compassion when people are hurting. It just isn't part of the culture. So sometimes they just want to come and talk about their bad dreams. And these are full-grown men. And you're listening, and they're tired. And so now they're sick. And now they're discouraged. And now they have no energy to do their garden. And, you know, things just get bad. And so I'm like, how much water are you drinking? Just really typical things. But they're like, and it's a great chance to talk about hydration. And we all actually feel a lot better when we're getting the liquid that we need. So it doesn't take a scientist or even a real nurse. It just takes somebody who's willing and takes the time to do it. And I love this part of my job. Sometimes it's absolutely foul. There's been a few times where I've called Brad in a fish hook. In the mouth or a fish hook. Actually, fish hooks anywhere, pretty much. So just the week before we left, one of the girl's cousins got a fish hook in the back of her knee. And she's a little bit bigger than Lola and even skinnier. And, I mean, there's not enough meat in the back of her knee to get a fish hook in, but there it was. So I was concerned about what to do, and we took her down to, we have what's called a
dispensary.
No, what's his job, though?
Dresser.
In English? Yeah, he's a dresser. So he just dresses wounds. He's 6 week trained, but he's taught me tons of stuff just because he has experience in Vanuatu, because he's a local guy. So I took her down there and said, what do we need to do? And he's like, lay her on the table. So you go in this disgusting little building. It's about 15, 20-minute walk from our village. And he puts her on this table, tells her to get on her belly, and he's standing there, and he's looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, my word, he's going to start doing black magic. Like, I can't handle this. So I'm just standing there waiting, and all of a sudden, he leans down, and he takes a hold of the hook with his teeth. Like, are you kidding me right now? And rips it out of her leg with his mouth, spits it on the ground, and tells me, Amber, that's how it's done. And I'm like, okay. I will definitely not try that next time. But it was remarkable. Like, there's this little wad of meat on the fish hook still. And I'm like, unbelievable. So that gave me a little, yeah. I love being in America where you can just, yeah.
But
other people can take care of these things and I don't have to see it all.
The amazing thing is, when it's not lost on us, that you guys struggle too.
Yeah.
You know, I've got dengue fever over there, and I'm lying in a bed, but there are people here who are suffering as well. The battle that we're up against is not to cure their ills.
No.
It's to cure our relationship with God. Mm. We do have a lot of resources. We talked about that a little bit this morning downstairs. But in the end, we are their resource, not only to some of these helps, but also, and we'll talk about with the water, but also just the hope. And that's what we're there to do. It's why I could talk about our class all day long. It's why it's amazing just sitting on the floor late at night pitch black in our classroom because we've gone till the lights have gone, till the sun's gone down, and it's pitch black, and we're singing Couple Jésus Te Week. It's like, that's cool. That's moments where you just celebrate. We know we're like a fall out of the tree away from our entire thing being set off schedule, and yet it's never happened. God's kept us healthy, and even when I had dengue fever and a cyclone hit in the same week, we didn't miss any actual teaching time other than nobody could get together during the actual cyclone. Like, it just has continued on. God has been so faithful in having his word go out. And you guys are a part of that. We've talked about where we're going next. Our phase out is simply we're praying that God will establish leaders that will be able to sustain and reproduce this in the years to come so that his church is strong on Utapeu as he intended. So sent the first people there, and when we can be a part of building the church. So that's it. That's what we had to share, and a bit more that didn't get shared, but we'll be happy to answer questions downstairs. Hopefully this spurred on some thought for you guys, questions for you, and when we're downstairs, we'll talk some more.
Thank you guys for sharing, and thanks girls for sharing too. I'd like to just pray for the meal. Again, everybody's invited to join us, and I hope you stay for the question and answer part as well. And one thing, I don't know if it was mentioned, but this Saturday, we're going to be gathering in the Langsburg schools, the elementary, the junior high, and senior high, and we're going to walk through the schools when they're closed, and just pray through those schools. Pray for the students that will be there. Pray for the teachers, and you're invited to come. That's at 10 o'clock. If you have any questions, talk with Renee or talk with me, and we'll fill you in on that. But let's go ahead and bow in prayer. God, I just thank you so much for this family, Lord. We pray your hand over them. You are the good shepherd, God, and I pray that while they're here, you would provide exactly what they need mentally, physically, spiritually, Lord. Just may your spirit surround them, giving them what they need and preparing them, God, for what's next. And again, we commit that group of believers there in Utapeu to you and your care for them. God, I thank you for the way that you have blessed us today in hearing how you're working through this family. And oh, God, I thank you for the church. I thank you for our church family here, Lord. And we thank you for the ways you provide for us. Lord, you've blessed us in incredible ways, and we just want to say thank you. And one of those ways is fellowship and food. And Lord, we just celebrate you in those things too. And so we thank you for this meal that we're about to partake in. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.